time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday. Cofield and Company. We are in two locations, as we often are during the football and basketball season. I am across town from Treasure Island in Hendo, as I am at the Lees Family Forum. Tonight's the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony, one of my favorite nights of the year. They were just playing the tear-inducing music for all the great stories that are going to go down here tonight. And I sound like I'm laughing, but I do get hit every time I come here. It's an experience, and we'll tell you more about the mission at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. If you're new to town, you definitely want to be listening in because it's really cool. Great causes they're raising money for, and some of the giants of sports over the years around Las Vegas and Southern Nevada will be honored and inducted. There is a silent auction. I'll give you some of the items on that front in just a little bit. I think we're going to bring in the other half of the show, I think, from Treasure Island. It's Adam Hill, who's at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Adam Hill? What a letdown. Okay, there you go. There you go. No Adam. Okay, so we'll effort that. We do have a good show on the way today, as we're going to talk to maybe a future Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Famer very early in his tenure here in Vegas. But, man, I bet you there's a lot of Rebel fans who would induct, just off of the one season, Barry Odom into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. So Coach Odom's going to join us in about 15 minutes. So here's the deal here today. Again, we're set up at the Lees Family Forum. If people don't know about the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame, this is the 25th induction ceremony going in, and I'll get to all of the inductees in just a little bit, but C.J. Watson, who is a local who played in the NBA and played at Tennessee, is going in tonight. Kenny Bayless, if you follow boxing, you know he was in there for a ton of championship matches, and we are still the home of big-time boxing, so we'll hopefully get Kenny on in the 5 o'clock hour. He is going in, and then we're really fired up today, and if you listened for the last couple weeks, you heard some spots where we addressed this, including talking to one of the inductees. We're fired up at ESPN Las Vegas and Lotus Broadcasting because Tony Minnici, who was a longtime GM of the group and has been with Lotus Broadcasting for 40-plus years, he's going in along with Jesse Leeds. Jesse is a former salesperson and then general sales manager. And these two guys really had the vision to make what you're listening to here and on Fox Sports Las Vegas, which is the home of the Vegas Golden Knights, and Raider Nation Radio 920, which is the home of the Raiders and sometimes the Aces and Aviators baseball as well. And as I said, ESPN Las Vegas, which is the home of UNLV sports and national sports broadcast and, you know, multiple local shows. This was their vision in the mid-90s when, at the time, there really wasn't a all-sport station in Sin City. And these guys came up with the idea, and look at what it's expanded to now. And we actually have four stations. We have four different sports stations. Another one of them is 12:30 The Game, and our good friends, very good friends over at VSIN. Their programming is run over there, and then a lot of our extra play-by-play is run on 12:30 The Game. So four-station group and literally partnerships with every major sports organization in town, a place that has developed multiple sports talk talents. Some are still with Lotus Broadcasting. Some have moved on. So it's been a haven for a place that's gives you freedom to broadcast. So those two guys, and I can go down, I'll tell a bunch of stories. I'll give you one later on. JT the Brick is actually narrating the event tonight at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. I'll give you a couple JT stories, and I'm sure he's going to shout out Tony Minnici and Jesse Leeds and give them a big thanks, because for all of us, it's made a lot of things possible that these guys believed in sports in the mid-90s, and now almost 30 years later, look at what the group has grown to in terms of sports broadcast and sports talk shows. Now, the ceremony every year, is the main mission here is to raise money for great causes, and it's mostly educational causes and youth sports causes. And tonight, if I'm correct, I think they're handing out 7 different scholarships. So they've got the money to give out scholarships to high achievers around the Valley when it comes to, you know, high school grads coming up here. I think I'm off on the timing. Yeah, high school grads already happened. So that they go through that whole ceremony, and the people are so impressive. The kids are so impressive. Beyond that, they're going to start naming some new awards, and I just saw Hunky Cooper is part of an award. And if anyone knows Hunky out there, he's a massive part of youth sports and high school sports. And now a former UNLV guy, he's back with UNLV football, and he's a big part of what UNLV football is doing as well. And there is a silent auction. So if you're not here, it doesn't matter. You can participate in the silent auction. If you go up to ESPN Las Vegas on Twitter, you can see the link. And what's up for silent auction, and again, you can register online, you can bid, you then follow your bids. There are texts that you will get. I bid on a couple of things earlier, so I'm already getting text about the update and if I've been outbid. Just to give you a sample on a couple of things. Ooh, look at this. A lot of sports experiences, a lot of tickets. And this all goes to charity, and it all goes to the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame to give out scholarships next year, right? One of the things you can bid on is a Golden Knights experience. You actually get tickets to a Vegas Golden Knights game. And I'm reading Zamboni. Oh, you get a Zamboni ride. Okay, that's pretty cool. So tickets and ride on the Zamboni. I mean, that's one of dozens and dozens and dozens of items available. There's a NFR prize pack, multiple golf foursome prize packs, some UNLV swag, top golf experiences, season tickets to the Vegas Thrill, the women's volleyball team that plays out here at the Lees Family Forum. I'll give you more of the experiences. There's even a fast food experience, which I may have bid on, but for the thousands and millions listening locally and around the world, don't bid on that one, please. Don't bid on that one. But the link is up. You can go at Steve Cofield as well. I'll have that link out there. But big day today, Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We have future Hall of Famers on the show. Willie Ramirez is up later on. Maybe goes in as a broadcaster down the road. But Willie's going to get us ready for Aces basketball this weekend and talk about the last week or so in the WNBA. But up next, let's get into a little UNLV football. We're going to try to track down Barry Odom, head coach of the Rebels, in less than 5 minutes.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, just starting things here on a Friday. Cofield and Company on the road in 2 locations. We'll check in about 15 minutes with Adam Hill and the set over at Treasure Island. We're here at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Lee's Family Forum in Henderson. This is a really special night, and certainly UNLV football has a part of it, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes. But we have a chance, as believe it or not, folks, UNLV football kicking off, and we'll get the exact day number, but I think we're under 75 days until kickoff on August 31st. Fall camp will start up. It's actually August camp will start up in just a little bit. Barry Odom, head coach of the Rebels, is on the horn with Cofield and Company. Coach, how are you?
What's up, buddy? Hope you guys are doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we are. We're real good. Keep going.
There's a lot going on, man. It's June used to be a kind of a relaxed month, and maybe the busiest month now on our calendar. June and December have become that, but all really good stuff.
So, explain to the audience what has changed in June and why it's so busy now.
Yeah, the thing years ago. Just had a chance to have a couple of camps, and then you're around your team. Now the opportunity, we can have camps on our campus. We are also having official visits throughout the month of June. We had 10 last weekend. We've got another couple this weekend, and then next weekend another big group coming in. We've got a camp tonight on campus, got about 185 kids coming to camp with us tonight from 6 to 8, and then we'll do the same thing tomorrow night. And then our current team's working out Monday through Friday, and we get a chance to be around them as well. So I love it. I think it's a great setup, and there's a number of people that are able to use June to a huge advantage on developing your team And I think the foundation is really strong with what we've got going, and we're just building on that now and the chance that we've got to be around our current roster.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that at the end. We're talking to Barry Odom here on Cofield & Company. Is one of the reasons that some, and I'm sure many head coaches like now, that it's kind of a year-round thing because the players don't kind of disappear for a couple of months. They have a place to go so that not only can you keep an eye on them, but you can build work ethic and tell them, hey, this is an all-year thing here. You don't take a break for a couple of months.
Yeah, the great programs, they've been doing it for years, and those that win consistently. And, you know, we're got a structure and a format and a blueprint on what it looks like for us to be our best. And our guys they've jumped in with both feet. You know, it's been fun because now you've got all your high school signees here. You've got all the portal transfers that are here. So you know what your roster is. You're developing it and trying to, you know, and strength and speed and conditioning and quickness and strength. And then now, you know, a couple years ago, the NCAA passed the opportunity that, you know, out of those hours during the week, you've got a certain amount of time that you can spend in the classroom or in the meeting room with your guys, and then also some instruction on the field and, you know, number of restrictions with that. But very, very proactive in our approach on how we're doing that. And, you know, I think if you look at the development of our program and what we've done now with 13 extra practices throughout the bowl season, getting ready for the bowl game, we had another five practices for the Mountain West Championship game. So, you know, we had a spring ball before we even got to spring ball and development of young guys in the program. And that's just a huge step in the right direction. And now, you know, how good can we get every single day between now and when we start and our guys report on August 1st? And as you mentioned, you know, before I came on, how quickly August 31st will be here. It's really almost on the front step.
So there's a ton of good news that came down the last couple of weeks, and one of them is that nationally televised games, you added another one officially with Syracuse. That's now a Friday game. But let's talk about how important it is to, you know, make sure you're getting the exposure, because last year TV was kind of lukewarm on UNLV football. You turned that around. You've got everyone excited. The players have everyone excited. How big is it to have 11 of the games nationally televised?
What a great statement for UNLV football, and not only what, you know, those guys, what our team last year accomplished, and then what we've been able to do in 18 months on, you know, getting some recognition. But then now, you know, all eyes are on us, and our schedule is what a challenging, but what an opportunistic schedule it is, the way it lays out, not only in conference, but out of conference games. And then, you know, we got five Friday night games, and that will be, you know, anybody that's watching college football on Friday night, there will be a lot of eyes on the Rebels, and that's certainly exciting for our team and our program, and our kids are fired up about it, that's for sure.
Barry Odom is up on Cofield and Company. All right, give me some of the challenges of, you're getting great exposure on these Fridays, but all of a sudden, you know, as I'm well aware, because then your coach's show, you know, flips, that affects me a little bit, right? Your whole schedule is backed up. Give me the challenges. Yes, it's great TV exposure, but getting kids ready and the whole program ready on in some weeks, short notice.
Well, we had one opportunity last year when we had a Saturday night game and then turned around and played Wyoming on a Friday night. And you know, the way we've adjusted our practice schedule for that, it worked really well for us. The biggest part is the crunch time as a staff on getting the right preparation done, the hours put in that it takes to get, you know, the game plan built for the week, and then to be able to, how good can we teach that to our kids? You know, it's just going to be a little bit quicker with a Saturday night game turn around to a Friday. We don't have many that are Friday a normal week, so it'll adjust it substantially. There'll be, you know, we're a morning practicing team. That's what we've done since we've gotten here, and it has produced really good results in a lot of ways, not only on and off the field, but academically and health-wise, a number of reasons we do it. So some of those weeks we're going to move the practice to an evening just to buy the staff some more time before we get out on the field. So I think we've got a good balance on how we're going to do it. We've got a mature team, and they understand, you know, the reasons why we are doing things. They're going to buy into and already have on the practice structure and the schedule and the reasons why. Last year, everything was new. You know, everything was new from week to week for our team. But now our guys understand that we're an older team. They're a mature group. And, you know, the expectation is it doesn't matter when or where or who the opponent is, that we need to go play our best ball.
UNLVtickets.com, that's where you can get tickets for UNLV football games this season. On the road for a couple of tough tests in September. The opener at Houston, then at Kansas on a Friday. We get Utah Tech at home, Fresno State at home. Followed up beginning of October is Syracuse at home. Again, UNLVtickets.com to get single game tickets, season tickets, mini packs. I think you guys have three-game packs. I want to talk about one more thing on the Friday games. You're mixing in some new quarterbacks. Unless Cam Friel wins the job, you're going to have some new quarterbacks. So, you know, that's kind of tough with them. They're going to come right out in different schedules. One, how did you feel about Haj Malik Williams coming out of the spring?
I think you look at really from where he started to where he ended up. You know, I know that he's got this natural ability and skill set, but the understanding of really understanding and grasping the playbook, what he, you know, different reads through different calls we have in the RPO world, he improved every day. Cam, with that, has improved dramatically on where he was from last year. It's going to be, and, you know, it's everybody wants and looks at the quarterback position, which certainly it's, you know, so important to our success. But we've got three guys that are going to battle and have an understanding of really the calls, the plays, how to execute the offense, to be efficient, to be a leader. You got to have great toughness to play quarterback, and you know you're not allowed to have a bad day. And if there's a tip ball that you made a perfect throw and results in an interception, the body language, the communication, all the things that go into playing quarterback. We feel like that we've got three that are really stoic in their nature and the way they approach things and have command of leadership in the locker room, which is pretty exciting to watch.
So we mentioned Cam Friel. We mentioned Haj Malik Williams. You mentioned three quarterbacks in the race. Matthew Sluka from Holy Cross is also part of the program. I believe he's around you guys now. He could do that on, June 1st. So what's it going to be like for him? Because he's absolutely going to get the fire hose of information trying to get ready really quickly.
It is. Those guys, how much time they put in on their own, amazing, really, and a credit to what kind of competitors they are and what kind of really players they want to be. Sluka had an opportunity to come out a couple times during spring practice and be around practice a few times. He obviously once he decided he was coming here, was entrenched pretty heavily in the playbook. And so, it's learning a new language, and I think all three have the football IQ to do that and to understand what that position, how important it is in our program, that everybody is counting on them protecting the ball and leading our team.
So we have this Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony tonight. You know, your guy Hunky Cooper is actually a big part of it. They just come up with a new award, and it's Hunky Cooper Commitment to Youth Award, and they're going to name a bunch of youth and high school coaches, give them the honors. And, you know, we've talked about Hunky's impact with you guys in this short amount of time and then what he had done before this. He really – like, we all find out more and more about Hunky and his impact around Las Vegas. It seems like every day.
It's amazing, and he's really you look at the importance of everything that he does for our student-athletes, for our staff, for our program. I mean, he's the glue, really, that holds a number of things together for us and for me, kind of my right-hand guy, and has helped me navigate through the city and a number of different topics, and blessed beyond measure that I've had a chance to work with him, and I sure hope he and I get to work together for a long, long time.
Barry Odom's with us. Last couple of minutes. UNLVtickets.com. UNLV football tickets are on sale. Single game season packs, three game mini packs. So go check it out. Check out the schedule. It's a really competitive schedule. Bunch of, three Friday games on the road, two at home. Really good Saturday slate as well. I got to ask you. You're busy. You said June's super busy. Can you carve out like 4 hours for the family to actually honor you for Father's Day?
Yeah, a number of things that we're trying to figure out, just yes, getting everybody in the same place at one time. And I don't know that we can get 4 hours, but I think we can get three. It's amazing on how fast it goes. And The phone cut out there a minute, and I think you asked about family time. So my wife and I, our anniversary is coming up. We've been married 24 years, and
congrats.
She's done a job on kind of orchestrating things family-wise to make sure we find some time. And with those guys, really, really excited because Vegas has been great to us. Their family is happy and healthy, and there's a lot of times that that means more than anything, as you know.
Let's see if we can get one more in here if the phone works. You put out something probably 10 days ago, 14 days ago, a graphic that said no excuses. And I got to tell you, I like being around football teams because it's unlike any other workplace. And I've often joked when I watch Hard Knocks, I come in to do the radio show, and I'm like, I want to run a radio show like that. But it's a little bit different. Explain the no excuses thing, because when I just see, like, no excuses in bold, I'm like, oh, man, I love that.
Well, I had a chance to work for a guy named Gary Pinkel for a number of years. I was with Coach for probably, I think it was 15 years, off and on in different roles. And, he was trained under Don James, a national championship coach at University of Washington. And that was one of their things, is no excuses and really being in charge of your attitude. And that was something that was ingrained to me from him. And we've used it since I started here program-wise. We've used it in a lot of different ways. And, you know, really to the core of it, I think you look at in college coaching, and part of the main part of my job is developing young men and making an impact on them so when they're done with football, that they've got an opportunity to get in our society and make it better and be better husbands and fathers and brothers and sons and whatever it is, our approach, if you take that mantra into it, you know, life is a lot of times it doesn't seem fair for whatever reason, but we can look at things through the lens of problems or obstacles, or we can look at it as solutions and we're going to find a way to get it done. So I think more than anything, we do once a week a team meeting that we just spend time talking about life lessons like no excuses or having a great attitude, a number of different things, and that's something that we've got up now throughout our building, and I think it's important for our guys to understand that. If you really embrace those qualities, we've got a chance of being a really good football team.
We appreciate the time. We know you're busy. Happy Father's Day, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, guys. Sure.
There he is. Barry Odom, head coach at UNLV football. We'll have that whole conversation podcasted after the show. And, yeah, Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame night and Hunky Cooper commitment honorees will be unveiled tonight. That'll be a really cool part of the ceremony. Coming up, we'll bring in Adam Hill down at Treasure Island, about 15 minutes away from doing some Aces talk, and also NHL as Willie Ramirez will be checking in.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
All right, rolling on. We're in Henderson, Lee's Family Forum and Treasure Island. Adam Hill is on the scene at TI. Adam, Raiders update. Camp canceled yesterday, right? Mini Camp Dunsky.
Yeah, they still had the availability over at the building, but they did not take the field. So guys head out to their summer break a little bit early. Everybody else will reconvene in Costa Mesa in about 6 weeks, I guess it is, maybe a little more, 7 weeks.
Nice.
Almost 2 months. I'm doing math very poorly right now. Either way. next month. No, it's 5 weeks. Yeah. I'm doing very bad math.
What, July 25th?
July 23rd, okay. Report days. 22nd, I'll be getting down there. So, yeah, a month. What am I saying? They have a month off. They'll be reconvened down at Costa Mesa for the start of training camp. And yesterday, the Raiders in the past has been about 50-50 whether they cancel the last day of minicamp. In this case, I thought, and I think everybody else thought, because they had not canceled it as of Wednesday night, that they were still going to take the field. And I think most people thought, you know what, the way the quarterbacks have played the last couple of days at minicamp, they are definitely going to practice. They need it. Not only because they need the work, they need to get better, they need to show something. Maybe just you want to see some confidence, right? Like, get them a good practice. And You know, you don't want them to go off on a bad note and be thinking about that for 4 weeks as they're on vacation. But they do end up calling it off. And Antonio Pierce said, guys, take a week, maybe two, to, you know, just decompress, take a vacation, get out of town. It sounded like he was on his way to Mexico. But then start locking in. Don't just show up completely out of focus. You know, get locked into football about 2 weeks early and then show up in Costa Mesa ready to work. And that's what they're going to be doing.
364-1100, 364-1100. We got tickets to the exhibition tilt coming up in October. Yep, they're for sale right now at AXS.com. It's Lakers in town, their annual Lakers appearance here in Las Vegas. T-Mobile is the site. October 15th, they're going to be taking on the Warriors. Caller 7-364-1100, 364-1100. Griffin's going to hook you up with Laker tickets. Get on the phones now, 364-1100.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, writer for AP Sports, Willie Ramirez, is live with Cofield & Company now.
WGRamirez.com is where you can find all of Willie's stuff. Willie, I don't know where Willie is today. Willie, where are you today?
Willie's chilling at the crib.
Nice, nice. I feel like every time we pop you on, I'm like, I've got to figure out where the hell he is, but all right. Little lighter night. You should, we should have got you out here to the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. Just so you know, the induction ceremony is going on tonight. You know that. But they've got an award and honorees. They've named an award after Hunky Cooper, and it's a youth coaching award. That's kind of cool.
It is. You know, he was a big part of the high school scene, coached over at Canyon Springs, brought home a couple of state championships, and he's always – you know, continued to recruit from Southern Nevada when he went down to San Diego State, and this was part of his area, him and Jeff Horton, and I know that they always got a kick out of when they beat UNLV on recruits, and now Hunky is part of back here at UNLV. So it's somebody who should be recognized, especially with the accomplishment and sort of the, you know, across the spectrum of football, from high school to arena football to college football, and now, you know, back here at UNLV, but then also sending players to the NFL. So, big name in football all around.
All right, Willie, let's get into the Aces. You and I are always chatting off the air about the Aces. And, folks, if you want WNBA stories and coverage, like I said, great spot is WGRamirez.com. Willie's on he's on all the Aces games, but he's following pregame and postgame for all the other games. So he's got all these stories from around the league. You know what? Last night, man, Aces come out in the first quarter. They're down 28-12. I'm like, mod on. I mean, how long is this going to go for? And then second quarter, holy moly. They had, 10 threes in the second? And then kind of an even game the rest of the way, but Aces were able to close it out. Phoenix ain't great, but they really needed that win, Willie.
Yeah, I think it still didn't look perfect. I mean, the last three games, they've allowed 96 or more points in each of them, losing two of the three. And so it's sort of weird to say this because they win 103-99, but it was because of their defense late that they were able to hold on for. That was brought up in the postgame presser, you know. But there's still a lot of work to do. There's still some kinks to work out, and they got to do it quick because the Liberty are in town. They got a 3-game homestand, but they're against powerhouse teams that are all above them in the standings. So it's not going to get any easier, even though the next three games are in Las Vegas. The win helps, but, you know, it's somewhat of a revenge game against a team that came in here and won. But at the same token, it's good for them, but it wasn't impressive enough for me to say, okay, they're back on track, not at 6-5.
How much of it is just being bored?
Yeah, I don't know how much of it's being bored as much as if they're bored, you know what they ought to do? Get into that fancy facility theirs and jump into the film room with all the fancy chairs and the recliners and start studying film. And because every time I asked Becky, I was like, you know, how much do you have to coach against this team, or what do you have to do? And she said, I'm really just worried about my team first and foremost, or I'm not worried about coaching against this coach, or I'm not worried about what the other team's doing. Well, the rest of the league has caught up from last year. So she better start worrying about that, and they better start worrying about that and studying it. And if they are bored, like I said, then there's a lot of game film to go over because the Liberty, Storm, and Connecticut Sun are all coming to Vegas.
So, I mean, obviously they'd also have some injury concerns, and that could fix it. But When you've won two titles in a row, I mean, has any player mentioned potentially? Like, I know they don't want to say it out loud, but the playoffs are what matters, right? Like, what do these games matter, and how can they find motivation in these games?
Well, playoffs matter, yeah, but I think home court advantage matters, and the fact is, before last night's win, they were also in seventh place, and the top eight make the league. So, I mean, to be honest with you, based on the way that the teams are playing, they're in the middle of the pack, and it wouldn't, if they were to continue to play the way that they're playing and just sort of coast at this point and get wins where they can and sort of play the way they've been playing, I think that they're playing for a playoff spot. Now, it's not a team that is a bottom of the league team. They're definitely a top eight team, but they haven't been playing like it. And I don't think that they like playing. I don't think that they like the results, and I don't think that they're waiting around. They also don't want to be traveling during the playoffs. So I think that, you know, there's a little more to it. I think they definitely want to get some home court advantage. I don't think that they want to be traveling to Minnesota or up to Seattle in the Western Conference portion of the playoffs, and they certainly don't want to be traveling cross-country more times than not to play Connecticut in New York.
Numbers are adjusted a little bit for the WNBA title. Aces, not quite as big of a favorite as they were before, but still a pretty good favorite here to win the title. Are there any other teams out there that you're looking at that like, hey, this team's live, they could actually win?
Minnesota or Seattle at that number, only for the fact that I think that they're going to get into the playoffs. And I mean, if you're holding a 12-1 ticket, if you throw $100 on the Seattle Storm to win $1,200 and they get into the playoffs at, you know, against a team like the Aces or whomever, and you're starting to get buyback money to make that money. If not, you know, you're sitting on a $1,200 ticket and all of a sudden you can try to play against it. It's not a bad value. I mean, Seattle is a very good team. Minnesota is a very good team. Minnesota, they both realistically have MVP candidates on the team, more so Minnesota with Nafisa Collier. But Seattle's got one of the top scorers in the league with Jewel Lloyd. They also have Nneka Ogumike. They also have Skylar Diggins-Smith. And they have a supporting cast. Minnesota with a supporting cast, including Kayla McBride, who's playing out of her mind right now. I know we keep hearing most improved player, Derek Ambi, Dejanay Carrington, but, man, Kayla McBride's got an all-star written all over. She's playing well. She's playing, and she told me this last week in person. You remember, Adam, when she was here with the Aces, she penned her own story for the Players Tribune. She said that this is the most clear she's ever been mentally, and it's really helped. And it's showing on the court. And both her and Cheryl Reeve talked about that. So Minnesota and Seattle, at the values they're at right now, to be holding a ticket once they get into the playoffs, you know, Minnesota 15-2, the odds you guys sent over $100 to, you know, so you're looking back at 7.5-1, and then Seattle 12-1. I like those values.
Willie is Willis. Willie G. Ramirez, WGRamirez.com, AP. Last thing for now on the WNBA. I'm glad you brought up some, or at least one former ace who's playing well elsewhere. I think that is one of the stories this year. The fact that, and they've been, you know, they've had a monster roster for a couple of years here. But, Willie, we knew last year with a top-heavy roster, the bench was going to be thinner. And, you know, McBride's gone last couple of years. Obviously, Derek Ahambi and the organization split on not-so-amicable terms. When, you know, Chelsea Gray is down and Jackie Young's coming back from something, I think that's really where you saw the lack of an experienced bench or a higher-powered bench really hurt them. And maybe it's coming together here. Maybe they won't need the bench so much. I saw Chelsea Gray warming up against Phoenix. What are we looking at for Chelsea in terms of a comeback here? Because it's going to change everyone's role on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much stock to put into warm-ups because, I mean, it was noticeable that she was warming up because they put her name in it from out to questionable. But if you show up to Aces games, you'll see that she's out there, you know, she going through her personal warm-up routine. They all come out for their dynamic stretching and then shoot around. So she's sort of out there. Then she comes out when the team comes out, she's in street clothes. So I think the anticipation of her coming back creates a space because Alicia Clark will then be coming off the bench and she won't be investing so many minutes into her starter's role. And don't forget Kirsten Bell is on the bench as well. I'm not sure how much productivity, you know, she's gonna bring now that Kate Martin's become a pivotal role off the bench. Chelsea's going to free up time for Alicia Clark to be more in her role as that sixth player of the year that she was last year. They still, in my opinion, don't have the depth that some of these teams do that have really come together. And I have to wonder, I mean, it's hard to say this because a lot of these teams have superstar players, but, you know, when they're in a position that they are and they rely on Asia Wilson so much with everything that she does, or the one player that steps up in certain situations, when other teams can rely on 2-3 starters and sometimes in the same game, I don't know how much that's coming back to bite them. But you're right, depth can be an issue even when Chelsea comes back, because then they have Alicia as the go-to, and you got Kate Martin, and then Kirsten Bell still on the bench. Sid Colson, of course, is a veteran off the bench. But, I don't really know the ins and outs of the trading and if the deadline when it comes to the WNBA. But I thought about this driving home last night from the MGM event. I wonder if they would be active in the trade deadline.
Interesting. Adam, you want to fire?
Yeah, I'm sure somebody would be very interested in coming to get $100,000, or would they only get $50,000 if it's half the year?
I don't know. Well, from my understanding, it's that spread out. Steven, like me, that know that's $100,000 over 2 years, so they still be in for $50,000, and then maybe whatever's remaining, is it prorated? Yeah. It's good. You go to, well, the thing is, are they earning a lot of that during the off season?
I don't know, but you know what? That $50,000, if everyone's getting it, is a much bigger deal now because the Commissioner's Cup and the $45,000 that was at stake there, Willie. Now, especially for a lot of the backups, okay, super long shot now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's the Commissioner's Cup will be, right, that's the Liberty are hosting the Minnesota Lynx. So that's out the window. The Aces will not be a part of that. They lost it, of course, last year here to the Liberty.
So Willie was out at a cool function last night. The MGM has held so many big fight cards over the year. What were they doing last night, Willie?
They were presenting the banner that will be raised. I mean, I guess it was considered quote-unquote raised last night. They unveiled it, but it'll hang into the rafters for the duration of life of the Garden. The 100th bout will be – the 100th card, excuse me, will be on Saturday night, headlined by Davis and Martin. So Davis – of course, the big name on that card. And they presented a video. I'm a little disappointed that Adam Hill wasn't quoted, even though he's a UFC guy, but I see all these other combat sports reporters. I didn't see Adam's face up there on the video screen when they interviewed all these other guys, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. But Adam was in the place. He was one of the go-to, you know, celebrities in the house to celebrate the 100th match. I was asked several times by different people last night, what was the first one? I don't remember the exact first bout. Scott Gertner of PR sent me over the list, and I am going to look over it because I'm writing a column for the Sporting Tribune for Monday morning. But I do remember the most memorable one. You and I had George Foreman on last year, Steve, and it was most certainly Foreman knocking out Maurer. Being there for that fight was tremendous. And then there's been so many others that I've been inside that place for to cover.
Does Frankie Randall, Julio Cesar Chavez ring a bell?
It does, but I wasn't there.
Okay. No, I just meant as the first bout there.
Oh.
At the Grand Garden Arena. I looked it up real quick. I don't know if it's accurate, but I looked it up real quick. I don't know if it would jog the memory. All right, we got a minute left. Very important. WGRamirez.com, really great spot for WNBA stories. Are you doing something on the combo of the WNBA and the importance of the house DJ?
I am. I'm looking forward to this. I'm doing four different corners of the country: Vegas, Seattle, DC, and Atlanta. Getting all the DJs on Zoom, talking about what it's like to sort of be the house DJ, what they look for, how to bring, you know, their different elements, and interviewed the one from Atlanta. Someone who I've actually followed for a long time before she even started DJing as a WNBA DJ. And she caught my eye because of the mixes she was doing. She was doing throwback stuff from the early 90s, Jay Chalet. And it also caught my eye because she looks like Kayla McBride. So I brought it up to her today. I've asked Kayla McBride about 5 years ago when the All-Star Game was here in 2019 if she knew who she was. So So that was kind of a kick to do a Zoom with her today. That's coming out in a couple of weeks before the All-Star break. But, yeah, so I'm going to be interviewing Joe Green here in Vegas. Everybody knows the Golden Knights DJ and the AC DJ, but also the DJs in Seattle, D.C., and Atlanta, bringing it all together on just sort of what it's like to sort of hype up, especially this year with the heightened attention and the bigger crowds in the WNBA.
Willie, we appreciate it. Happy Father's Day, and I hope both of your kids do something for you, and by both, I mean Kahlua as well.
He already has. I appreciate it. Jordan's out of town.
Okay.
Adam, happy Father's Day.
There you go.
Thanks.
Sure. Will you willingly accept that? Adam is a dad to a dog.
I accepted it. I don't know if it's necessary.
It doesn't count.
I don't think so.
I feel like my house that there is really a Mother's Day for the SO with all the cats.
Fair.
It is her life, especially in the morning when they're all standing around inside and outside, pissed that they haven't been fed yet. I'm like, this is a lot of pressure.
But I think there's also a Pet Mom's Day, so I think that would be.
Oh, is that right?
I think there is.
It would figure, right? We've talked about the national day calendar, and that really there are no rules. There's no rhyme or reason. I think we discovered there might be two different national days for chocolate chip cookies, which I don't hate, but no one's overseeing it.
As long as there's not an oatmeal raisin one. The MGM thing, man, it was a cool ceremony last night, certainly, but so many memorable things, and I went back and looked at a lot of them because I wrote a story, but obviously the biting fight was there, the Tyson Holyfield fight. That's where Tupac attended his last event before he got shot just a couple hours later. So many just crazy events have happened there and memorable moments in the history of boxing. It's pretty cool now that the 100th fight card involving a championship fight is taking place.
Where were you on the bite night fight?
Not there. I think it was in high school?
96?
Yeah, for sure I was in high school.
August of 96?
Yeah.
You were only like 17 or 18
yeah,
then.
16 or something, yeah.
I was there. I was part of a show getting ready to do, we did pre-fight and getting ready to do post. I'll be honest, I don't even think I was on the air yet. But that was a crazy night because not only what happened in the ring, obviously what happened to Koval and Flamingo, which we didn't know that was happening or going to happen. But as we were sitting there at the set, it got wacky because inside the MGM, it was Armageddon. It was chaos. You didn't know what the hell was going on.
Wild.
Yes. And speaking of that, JT the Brick has that whole story in one of his books. He's going to be emceeing, along with Jamie Maggio, the ceremony here at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. We'll give you more details on the induction ceremony. Two more hours on the way.